I'd like you to imagine something. Or maybe go back into your memory banks. Did you ever have a time when you had just a most delicious dinner? And you had more than enough to eat. In fact, there was plenty left over. I think maybe of a Thanksgiving dinner. All that stuff that we don't normally have all together, and it's all there. There's just so much of it. And the dinner is finished, and people clean the plates and put things away. They wrap tightly the leftovers, put them in the fridge, and the containers provided, all of that. And then everybody goes to take a nap. Now, maybe about 10 o'clock, 10:30, you sneak down to the kitchen, and you open the fridge door, and you start looking for that one thing that so enticed you in that meal, that so satisfied you. You said, boy, I gotta have more of that. And you looked, and you looked, and you looked some more. You started taking everything out of the fridge. Everything's on the kitchen table. Nothing is left. And you can't find it. It's gone. You look over at the sink, and there's the container that it was in. Somebody beat you to it. Now, what did you feel when that happened to you? What were you feeling just at that moment? Even more than what you were feeling, what did you think? And what did you do? There's lots of responses we could have. He said, oh, well, I missed the opportunity. And just take something else. Or just say, rats, go back to bed, or whatever. Or we could get angry, we could get frustrated, we could just say, whoever brought that to the dinner, I'm going to tell them to make more. It was so good. If you can get in touch with that, you may have an idea of what is in the people's minds and hearts as they chase Jesus down across the Sea of Tiberias to Caesarea. To Capernaum, actually, not Caesarea, excuse me. To Capernaum. And suddenly, there they are, and they find Jesus, and he's there. And they say, you know that bread you gave us? Give us some more. Jesus looks at them and looks around, might have said to them also, do you see any baskets full here? Because they knew there were leftovers. But instead of giving them more of what they ask for, Jesus takes the opportunity, perhaps because of their frustration or their anger or whatever it is that they were feeling at the moment, and he takes it and he wants to use that energy and turn it around somehow. And so he begins to teach them, using their hunger as a vehicle to teach. And he says to them, you know, you came to me because you saw that I gave you this wonderful bread on the side of the mountain. And now you're hungry. And you want more. If you toil and work for that kind of bread, you will always be hungry. That's just a fact of life, isn't it? Just in our opening story. You know, we had this big meal. We were really full. But later on in the day, after our body starts to process things, our belly gets a little empty, and so we decide, oh, I want to put some more in there. That's what Jesus is talking about here. That if you're only looking for the bread that can satisfy your physical hunger, you will always be hungry. Maybe not at the moment, but in time, and you'll have to go look for more bread. Jesus is saying, all of us have a deeper hunger. All of us are looking for something much more profound in our lives. When we stop to think about it, we start to look at, why am I even here? What's my purpose for being here? What is it that I am meant to be or meant to do? That hunger for that kind of insight and knowledge also never leaves us. But, Jesus says, if you eat the bread that I give you, you will never be hungry that way. Because if you eat the bread that I give you, which is my life given for the world, you will find the answers that you seek. And you will always have access to that wisdom, that knowledge, that understanding, to those gifts of the Spirit of God that are part of living the way I will teach you. Well, then they ask, what must we do to get this bread? What must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus says, you don't need to do anything. It's already yours for the asking. It's you that needs to receive it, to open your hearts, so that God can feed you as God fed the Israelites in the desert. Well, give us this bread always, because we're tired of looking for it. Jesus takes a deep breath, shakes his head, and says, you know, you just don't get it. I am the bread of life, me. If you eat this bread, what I give you, not the bread that fills your belly, but the bread that fills your spiritual hunger, the bread that fills your soul, you will never be hungry, because you will realize that your physical hunger will always be with you. That's part of your daily life. But this other quest that you have deep within you, the very reason you came chasing after me, will only be satisfied when you open your hearts to eat the bread from heaven. They still don't get it. You know, and that's okay. The disciples probably didn't get it either. As we've talked about before, they can be a little thick in the head. And so can we. But you see, there's a great gift that we have. And it's right there, at that table. It's the bread of heaven. The bread of heaven that is given to us so that each time we take but this slight morsel of bread, our bellies are far from full. But because we are saying by taking that bread that Jesus is the bread of heaven, that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus is the way, and we take it to ourselves, and we say we are willing to hear what God has to say to my heart, Then the gift will come and the bread will satisfy. This bread reminds us that our spiritual lives are very much tied up with our physical bodies and lives. Jesus made that very clear. We're not some sort of spirit imprisoned in this body of ours, but rather we are each unique and called into being by God. And that each of us has been called into being, as St. Paul teaches us, with a purpose, with gifts given by the Spirit, so that we can be about the business of building up the body of Christ, of building up the church. And for what purpose? Not to build magnificent edifices, but to go out into the world and to tell a hurting and broken world that there is an answer, that there is a way of living that will help us understand that the pursuit of the things of this world in the end is useless, and that the important things are the things of the heart, the things of the soul. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Are you hungry? Are you searching around in the refrigerator for those leftovers? Are you going to Jesus every time you pray and say, "Give me something," whether it's relief from the anxieties I have, or a cure for an illness I may have, or something for my family, or even my world? Give us something, God. Show us. How many times in the last few days have you simply raised your mind to God and been moved to praise and thank God for nothing more than simply being alive, simply having the air to breathe around us, simply having the food that we do have to eat, simply having a home to share? Whereas every time we say, "Jesus," we're on the verge of asking for something. That's the transformation Jesus can make with this bread of life. He can change our hearts. He can fill our souls so that we are less concerned about our bellies and more concerned about the life that God gives to our world. That's the transformation that Jesus works. And he works it right here and right now. Because at this table, he says to you, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats of this bread will never hunger." Friends, open your hearts. Open your mind. Allow the Spirit of God to fill you to the brim and running over, so that the 12 baskets full represent the fullness of your life, not simply what's left over from dinner. This is what Jesus offers. And so I have a simple thing to tell you. Let's eat.